I do children's church. I live up there. It's really where I like to be. It's where I want to be. I bounced around different things, but I found the home there, and that's what I like. But since I'm back down here, I'll try to talk slower and louder. But you're laughing at me over there. That's not good. God's been good. I like being with children. Jesus said, bless the little children and let them come unto me. And he said, if you don't come to me like a child, you probably won't find me. And I hope and I pray the older I get that I don't lose that childness that God likes to see. Because in Revelation, it says, you lost your first love. Hey, you know, you got to come back like a child. Now, I get distracted every once in a while. I've been distracted all week, fairly. But, so, if I get off track a little bit, don't worry, I'll come back on. They say that's kind of like chasing a rabbit down a hole, you know, going down another rabbit hole. Well, Jeremiah, my oldest son, we was out hunting, and we had a dog running a rabbit, and that rabbit ran into a hole, and that dog chased it into that hole. And I looked at him, and I said, oh, no, I'm going to have to go back home and get a shovel. I've got to dig his dog out. But it wasn't too long. That rabbit come out a hole on the other side. And a little bit later, that dog comes scrambling out that other side, still chasing that rabbit. So we might go down a rabbit hole, but there's a rabbit coming out, so we're going to get something from it. Now, my kids, I'm going to get to what I'm going to talk about here in just a minute. Up in children's church, I tell the kids, I said, do you all want to obey God? Well, them hands go up. And then I read Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And they kind of slump back down, because obeying God's one thing, obeying your parents is another. But they realize that that's a good thing. Now, in children's church, I deal with about three main things. Salvation is the biggest thing. And hopefully, down here, we all know God, and that's been happening. So salvation is a big thing. Bible stories and teaching them Bible things is another big thing. And also, teaching them where things are found in the Bible. And I give them a hard copy of that Bible, is we need it. We need to know the books of the Bible and where to find them. But the next thing I work with is relationships. And we think, why are you working with that? I said, building relationships now is going to last us the rest of our lives. I go down and I see some old friends of mine that I grew up in church with. I remember them from the nursery up until we moved away from church. I can even tell you what the flooring was like in that nursery at that time. But it was like little pigs and things on it. It's in my mind, but I remember that. And when I go back down there, we talk about some of those old things that we used to do in church. So those relationships last. Now, I will use different things to build those relationships up there. And sometimes we get away from a lot of these things, but I use... A big thing is games and puzzles. Now, man, teaching kids games. I had one boy, an older boy in there, said, they're all over there playing games, and I'm here trying to learn the word. And I said, hey, they're learning also. They're learning how to put what we're learning into action by the way they treat one another, by their honesty in the game. And sometimes we get away from those things, but relationships are important. And when I do a puzzle, I said, it's kind of like putting our lives together. We look at a kind of a mess in front of us, but God's putting those pieces together in our lives and leading us. And that's the same thing that we do here. So relationships are important. I think they're going to put up Ephesians 4, 8 and 9. Yeah, that's what. Philippians. Hey, like I say, I get sidetracked once in a while. I did get the 4, 8, and 9 right, though. Oh, that's 8. Hit 9. Think about such things. Whatever you learned, received, or heard from me, or seen in me, put it into practice. This is Paul talking. And the God of peace will be with you. Now, I sometimes will go forward so I can go back. The King James used to put a therefore in there. And what is that therefore? You have to go back and see. So now go back to 8. Okay. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So we think of those things, and we want the God of peace to rest in us. Then we need to start studying these and putting them into practice in our lives. Now, I don't use this very often. This is J.B. Phillips' Modern English. But matter of fact, I don't pull it out very often at all. It was my cousin used to do it, use this quite a bit. But him and God, they didn't necessarily fall away, but he wasn't following him as close as I'd really liked him to. But in this, it's not a translation. This is more of like a paraphrase. But he starts off with this. Here is a last piece of advice. And I'm thinking, you know, sometimes we view the Word of God as just advice or suggestions. It's not. The Word of God is holy, and it's to be viewed as holy, understood as holy, and put into practice that can change our lives. Now, at this time, Paul was in prison, writing to whatever Bible verse I put there, Philippians. That's who he was talking to. If I get sidetracked, just remember where I was at, and that's where I'm going to come back. But he's talking to the Philippians, and he says, brethren, so when he's talking to them, he's talking to the Philippians. But today, he's talking to us. Whatever is true. Well, just because you believe it doesn't mean it's true. As you get older, things change and you see things more clearly. May not be a monster under your bed. You might believe there is, but once you look, there's not. Now, I've told you in children's church, I have Bibles up there for them, and I give them out their Bibles, and I pass it out to them. So each one will have a Bible, and I give them highlighters up there. We look up the verse, and I have them underline it. I will read them that verse, because when I tell them something, I want to be able to back that up. I want them to know that what I'm telling you is coming from the Word of God. It's not my truth, it's God's truth. I do this for a few reasons. One, I want them to know what I'm saying is true. Second, I want them to be able to use the Bible. If I ask them to find something, they are just lost a lot of times. And a lot of times we are. If we didn't have our phones, we may not be able to drive to Springfield. We've lost the ability to read a map. There's so many times we're losing our abilities to bring our Bibles to church. I've got my phone. Well, what if that phone battery dies? If you got a hard copy, it doesn't die. They underline it to know they're using it and to know that they can put that into use. Truth. The first one, I looked it up in I have a lexicon in there that gives me different things, but the first thing that popped up is not concealing. Ooh, not concealing. Do you ever think about that? When you're talking to people and you say something, but you may not say all of it. You may want yourself looking better. Sometimes misleading. And we get this a lot in advertising. And the world uses it all the time for us. Where it may not be a lie, but it's misleading. If they're talking about laundry detergent, legally, they can say it's better than, as long as they don't say it's better than what. The better there is put into your mind to where you're thinking, oh, they're talking about this and that, but they don't say that. They might say, it's new and improved, and you've got to have this. The world's doing this to you all the time, people. The new and improved meant that they changed the packaging on it and made it smaller, so you're getting less. Watch the truth. Okay, I'll say it. Okay, there was a guy selling a horse. And it was a pretty nice horse, you know, it was good. And this guy came up and he said, yeah, I like that horse. I'd like to buy that horse. And the old guy said, I don't know, he don't look too good. And guy was looking at it, and looked fine, you know? And said, yeah, but I want you to know, he just don't look too good. The guy said, perfect, I'll take it. I'll buy that horse. He took it home. Come back the next day. He was mad. He said, "This horse is blind." I said, "I told you he don't look too good." Deceiving. Satan will deceive you. Not concealing things. The cowboy logic, coming close to the truth, still ain't the truth. Truth is better than a lie. A lie is going to get you out of the problem really quick. "Oh, I didn't do it," and walked on. Once that truth is figured out, uncovered, you've got a bigger problem. You just lied. And the lie really can separate you from God. At family camp, I walked up into the upper room up there, and there's a couple kids up there playing. One of them was my grandson, Lucas. And I said, looked up, and one of the window shades was broken. And I said, "Lucas, how did that happen?" You know, he didn't make up any excuses. He went straight to it. He said, "I broke it with a tennis ball." Now, he could have said the kids were all up here playing and ball got hit up there. He could have misled me. He could have just lied to me and said, "I don't know." He didn't. He said, "I broke it." I said, "Be more careful in the future." And that was the end of it. And I have told him that it was a really good thing that you told me the truth, and I appreciate that. But you know, I got to thinking, it wasn't his fault. I mean, yeah, he hit it. But it was the teenagers and the adults that took those games up there. And they were up there playing them. And they left him up there unattended. It wasn't his fault. But I did take all of that equipment outside and let him play it out there. It's far better to tell the truth than it is to go ahead and sin. I have Dave, one of the bus drivers. He's a bus mechanic down there. He always said, "You do something stupid, just tell him, 'Hey, I did something stupid.' And they say, 'Don't do it again.' But if you lie about it, it takes an awful lot more time to get over it." Now, lying, I think I had Matthew 12:24 up there. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's 34. I don't have, just a second, I got to get my other paper out here. You remember that one I told you I didn't think I'd need? I've got it here somewhere, but I've lost it. Oh, well. Yeah, 34. You're fine. You brood of vipers, how can you say anything evil is good? For everything overflow out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he's just talking about the things that are in your heart, it's what's going to come out. If bad things are in there, bad things are going to come out. If you start putting good things in there, good things are going to come out. And that's where you tell the truth or you tell a lie. So the truth, is it true? Are they concealing anything? Or is it just a lie? So, as a Christian, we don't try to conceal, and we don't lie. And sometimes, not telling the truth when we know it is just as bad. For out of the mouth speaks what fills the stomach. Okay. Ooh. The next one, and the next one is a fairly difficult word. It's, go back to Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble. Now, if you're used to the King James or any of those, that comes out honest. Whatever is honest. This word comes out more translated as venerable. And there's a word I can't put in a sentence and use. And it's hard for me to understand what it means. It deals with, generally venerable deals with elderly, respectable people. And the word, it gets translated noble, honorable, honest, dignified, worthy. And all of those, in the Greek, this word is one of the hardest ones to translate into English language. There's just not one word that says it. It's just such a rich thing and so dignified that it's hard to explain, to put into a life of a person. Generally, 1 Timothy 3, 8, and Titus 2, put those up. It's referred to as elders and deacons in the church, that they are dignified, that they are worthy of respect. They're sincere, not indulging in wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. What's the next one? Keep doing, okay. And the next one, because the next one, let me find it. The next one deals with the women. The women also, and a lot of times, okay. A lot of times we look at dignity in the church as the men, the deacons. But you know what? The women hold such a high honor in the church also. And to be held in respect, to held in honor, that we don't want to just ignore that or leave that, because they're as high in respect as the men. And that was one of the another thing that Paul was talking about. And it deals with older men. Glad I'm not there yet. to be more respectful, to be more examples to the church, and gravity. And I don't still, there's more words that I don't understand. I have to pull the dictionary out every time I go to these things. That venerable, I still not exactly sure where that one was at, but it does deal with the older, more respected, more mature, and living an example for others. People that I feel this for, I have to go back a ways, and I remember one that I really respected and felt that dignity coming from was Ronald Reagan, the president. And I don't always feel it, but I did with him. When he would walk into the Oval Office, he said he had such a respect for that, he wouldn't even take his suit coat off because he did not want to respect the office. We need a lot more of that. We need somebody that can respect it and respect the office. Another one, as far as that goes, was Queen Elizabeth. I always thought she was quite the lady. But her statement was, I hope Jesus comes back before I die so I can cast my crown at his feet. She's doing that now, but, you know, sometimes we don't always say it. Another one I have a deep respect for is Joseph Campbell. And I feel that when he gets into the pulpit, he doesn't say respect. He demands it. And he has us listen to the Word of God. Doesn't tone it down. Doesn't lie about it. It's the Word of God, and he uses it. Another one that I work with was Sean Dickerson. When Sean would get up and sing, could feel the power of God. And the songs he chose challenged us, sometimes bothered me. It challenged me so bad. When he'd sing the song, You Bring the Fire, I'll Bring the Sacrifice. I wait. That means I am the sacrifice. I'm not ready to get on that sacrificial altar right now. But he challenges with the things that he did. There's others that I have to show respect for. And, you know, Sister Betty there is one. When she walks in, you love her and you respect her. And there's a lot of people like that I lift up. And I could name a lot of names, but I need to go on and get this. So, honorable, older people that we respect. And we can respect younger people because sometimes they live it just as much. And that's a good thing. My next one, Matthew 22:36, and also Matthew 25:35. Whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are right. Whew. When it comes into right, we can always say right and wrong, but that, once again, a Greek word that is hard to translate, and it doesn't always mean the right that we're thinking of. Sometimes it's pronounced just, and that's just as it should be. And sometimes it's innocent, and sometimes holy. But what it's talking about is relationships and obligations. Our obligations to God. And I thought, yeah, we can go ahead with that. When I first thought this, I thought, okay, this is an easy obligation. I can give 10% of my tithe, and that's my obligation. Just give some money, and I'm done. I'm okay. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, the greatest law, whatever. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Obligation. It's not just 10% of our money. We're obligated to put our whole life in Jesus' hand and do our whole bidding. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Two obligations that we have. One, serve God all our heart, soul, and mind. Two, what are you doing to the community? What are you doing to the people around you? Yeah. Well, I don't have too many people around me. Yeah, not true. We have a lot of people around us. And say, well, I'm young. There's not too many around me. No. But you can help your brothers and your sisters to grow a little more in the Lord. Which one was it? You got 25, 35, and 36. I got to see what it is, and I hope it's the one I'm thinking of. Okay. For when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. It goes on to talk about, when did we see you as a star? I needed clothes, you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. I was in prison, you came to see me. And Jesus went on to say, whoever you did this for, you did it for me. In the community, if you are helping others, you're helping Christ. I got to hurry. no, I don't. I got a lot of time. And Jesus said, even a cup of cold water in my name will be a blessing. So, when we want to be right, just, holy, we need to look at our obligations of what we're doing for Christ. Pure. And pure here means holy. I'll look around and think, well, I'm not too holy. But you know what? God wants us to be. God wants us to be pure. He wants us to be holy. And one of the Beatitudes was in Matthew 5, 8, I think. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Are we going to be perfect? No, but we can be holy. And that's putting God first, putting God in our mind. Sometimes that's a fairly hard thing to do. But what's the next one I have up there for you? Oh, Psalms 19:14. Put that one up. My words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. When it talks about pure in heart, that's the meditations of our mind. Now, in the book, God is No Fool by Lois Chaney, she writes, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. And then she said, oh, if it was only the words of my mouth. It's a lot of times we let our minds drift to things we shouldn't. There's a lot of times things come into our life and into our vision that shouldn't. But we don't have to let it stay there. We don't have to dwell on that. One of the statements that they got when I was younger was, you know, birds, they'll fly over your head, but you don't have to let them build a nest in your hair. Kick that thought out and go on to a better one. Keeping pure thoughts is not always easy and sometimes hard. But we don't have to let them stay in our minds. Put a song in there of praise and go on. I found my paper. I knew I'd get there eventually. The next thing that came up, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is good report. And these two words, once again, Greek words, and this is the only time they're used in the New Testament. Lovely and good report. Now, this is not talking about beauty per se, but it is talking about attractiveness. What? It's not attractiveness in ourselves. It's the way we do things, the way we present things. Could be, you know, when it's hot outside, but we get that rain that comes in, and that rain, we go out and breathe just after that, and that breath that comes in is an attractiveness for God. It's a breath of fresh air, something good. And when it talks about that, it talks about people we like to be around. Do they make us feel good? Do they make us comfortable? They talk about comfort food. Something that does good. That's an attractiveness. And it's a quality that people want to be around. It's something that wins people over. We need that quality in our lives. Good report. I think I did have a verse for that. Matthew 5:6. Maybe I got the wrong one. Just a second. What is it? Excuse me. Ha ha. I forgot a one. 5:16. I'll get there eventually. It's one of those verses. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. I will say, when I'm out in the community and I tell them I go to Cross Creek Church, they say, that's a good place. They like Pastor Joe. He's good in the community. It's a good report. Live your life in such a way. But not only that, live your business in such a way that people will look at it and talk about the goodness of it. One of them was with Melissa, who I respect, running Doodlebug Daycare. She was known not only in this town, but other towns and other states, and people wanted their kids, when they moved here, to go to Doodlebug. she had a good report. Are we living a life that has a good report? You could look at this as advice. You could look at this as suggestions. But I would rather you look at it as the Word of God. And if you learn from this, learn from the life of Paul, the God of peace will rest upon you. Joyce, you want to come back up for a minute? When we look at the world, I was always kind of afraid of what my kids were going to have to face when they got out there. When I look at my kids now, I see what Satan is going to have to face. Are you living a life of truth, purity, righteousness? It's not a salvation call. I do that up in Children's Church. This is a wake-up call. If you need a prayer with it, we're down here to pray for that. If you need help with relationships, we're down here to pray for that. And just a few verses ahead of this, there was a couple people having a fight in the church, and Paul said, hey, brethren, get around them. Help them work it out. Show them what's true. What's a good report? What's lovely? An attractiveness that they want to join in with. Let's pray. Father God, thank you once again. Your word, thank you for coming to us today, for blessing us. Thank you for helping us in our weaknesses. And continually coming back and showing us the right path. And I just bless you and praise you, Lord God, for all that you've done in our lives and all that you're going to do. In your name we pray. Amen.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. Let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Let
Thank you all for coming. As you greet one another on your way out, talk. Say encouraging words to one another and love one another in God's name.